Well, let's turn in our Bibles tonight and look in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. A verse here tonight I pray will be very encouraging to all of us. Titus chapter 3. Let's just look at one verse. 14. Right there, second to the last verse in the chapter. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. It's a sentence. Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us to have an understanding in these words tonight and to get something that He wants us to have for being here, something that He wants us to have for having this message together. Lynn, would you pray for us? Amen. Yep. Amen. Amen. Now, according to this verse, we need to learn to maintain good works for necessary uses so that we aren't unfruitful. Is that what you see there? It's pretty straightforward. Pretty straightforward. What I'd like to look at tonight is the characteristics of these good works about which Paul wrote in this passage of Scripture. And first of all, notice from the passage that good works are necessary. Do you see that? He said here, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. In other words, these aren't just good works for the sake of doing good works. These are good works for necessary uses. They are necessary things. Now, I've noticed over the years that there can be a lot of unnecessary work in churches. What we must be doing are those things that are necessary. And we don't want to leave anything that isn't necessary undone as it concerns the work of the ministry or as it concerns a local church. And it may surprise you, because the way the work is done, it's divided up and lots of people have something to do with it, but it may surprise you just how much work is required to run a well-run or in a well-run local church. A lot of things to do. And all of these things that are done are absolutely necessary. They cannot be left undone. And I'll mention some of those. If I don't happen to mention the one you're involved in, it's not because I'm not trying to mention everybody that's here. The reason is very simple. There are so many things. I say from time to time, cleaning is a necessary work. And it really is. When you come in here, you expect to find things in their place, and you expect to find the facilities that you use, the water fountain, or refresh yourself in the washroom, or go through a door, whatever. You expect it to look clean. And it always does. That's necessary. I've been in churches that aren't clean. I've had the opportunity to travel around. The Woods have had an opportunity to travel around, go on deputation. And when you walk in a church that smells bad, or you walk into a church that's not clean, the people that are there because they really love God and they really love each other, but they are putting up with the rest of that. And that shouldn't be, it shouldn't be that way. We preach a gospel about holiness, and our normal and natural characteristics ought to mirror that to some degree. How about maintenance of the building? You can't even believe now. And just go sit down with Randy one day and ask him what all goes on. There's always something that needs attention in the building. Maintenance of the equipment. Vacuum cleaners and washing machines and dryers, coffee pots and... You say, well, coffee pot's not necessary. With this crowd, it's necessary. Absolutely, absolutely necessary. As necessary is, as whiskey is to a bar. Computers and software and all that stuff. All of that stuff is necessary. Maintenance of the vehicle. Somebody's got to go change the oil in that van, keep the tires inflated. You say, well, that's not really that all important. It is if you're taking kids all the way from here to Louisiana and back. You want to make sure that your family arrives there safely and home safely. Maintenance of the lawn and the landscaping. The very first impression that anybody gets of this place when they drive by here is what it looks like on the outside. And that, I'll guarantee you, does not take care of itself. It requires attention. Weeds have to be killed. Weeds have to be pulled. Things have to be watered. Things have to be mowed. Things have to be swept. Things have to be, you know how lawn care is. You do it at home. There has to be the proper receiving of and the proper accounting for money that comes in and goes through the church. And all of that has to be done above reproach. To the extent possible, we have dual control over everything from the time that it leaves your wallet to the time that it gets on the mission field or wherever it goes. It has to be that way. Even though I trust everybody that's involved in that process explicitly, you never want to put somebody in a situation where they are tempted, if they can, to do something that they shouldn't do. Proper management of the sound system. Proper compliance with the policies. And then we get into things like preaching and teaching the Word of God. Oh yeah, we do that around here too. On the radio, on the internet, in the Sunday school rooms, in the nursing home, at the port, in door to door, in Bible distribution, in watering and harvesting, passing out tracts. The tracts have to look good. Somebody has to stamp them. They have to be neat and they have to be organized and they have to be not dog-eared. Can you imagine the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? If somebody's passing out bent, folded, stepped on. I've seen them that way in tract racks in churches. Kids play with them sometimes. Shouldn't do that, but they do. You got to straighten those up. You got to get them out of there if they're not presentable. There's teaching and training. We have five different aspects of our ministry right now that require specialized people, God-picked people, to be in those aspects of the ministry. And they're being trained for those things right now. There's still other areas where there have to be matches. Piano, music, song leading. Bobby just went up to Ohio and came back. Why? To do a better job for the sake of the Lord. The youth ministry and all of the activities that go with it. And the nursery. People think, the nursery. You know what happens in churches? It gets to the pulpit and the preacher, poor preacher, sometime during a service on Sunday has to stand up and say, I need a couple of ladies to work back in the nursery today because so-and-so that's supposed to be here didn't come. We never have that problem. Somebody's taking good care of things. All of these things must be done with the utmost care and the utmost proficiency because the ministry, the reflection on the ministry is the weakest one of those. If everybody else is doing exceptionally well with all of their stuff and there's smudges all over the doors and there's junk all over the floor, stickiness and trashiness, everybody evaluates the ministry on the lowest, not on the highest. Prayer. Many of you pray. Pray every day. Pray diligently for this ministry and the woods, for us, for missionaries, for things that you've heard about each other, sick people that are in the ministry and things like that. And may I tell you something? Every one of those things I mentioned and all the ones that I didn't mention that are connected with all of that, absolutely necessary. Once it starts and it goes to this degree, none of that can stop. Everything has to be done right. They're necessary. And Paul knew that, and he said, let us also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. May I say to you, the good works, whatever it is that God led you to volunteer to do, that we agreed you needed to be doing, that you're doing, it may not seem like much to you, but it's a big deal to God. And it's a big deal to me, and it's a big deal to everybody else. They may not come to you and thank you every time you straighten the hymn books and every time somebody plays the piano. And they may not pat you on the back and say, boy, you sure did a good job. Thank you guys for being faithful to go to the men's Bible study so one of these days you can be used here to help us in these things. People are not going to even recognize you for what you're doing. But it's absolutely necessary. Absolutely. You take guys that go to the front line in the military, everybody wants to hear about shoot 'em up. Nobody wants to hear about the guy peeling potatoes in the kitchen. But may I tell you something? The guys that are doing shoot 'em up are not going to be able to shoot 'em up if they don't have potatoes in the kitchen. Amen. And nobody else may know about it, but boy, those guys that come off the front line to eat KP know about it. And if it's not good, somebody's going to hear about it. And if it is good, the guy that did it may not hear about it, but those guys appreciate it. Good works are necessary. Notice also in verse 14, let ours also learn. Also learn to maintain good works. Good works must be learned. That's why we've been so careful to do approved worker training. That's why we have a new members class. That's why when we have people that are trying to fill positions today, we say, you know what? Why don't you apprentice a while? Why don't you assist for a while? Why don't you learn this well? Because it's not good to throw someone into a job without a clear understanding of what he is supposed to be able to do or what she is supposed to be able to do. That's why we have instructions in the nursery. Those things have to be done. And you know, you put somebody into a job without training, without proper expectations for what they're supposed to accomplish, without review from time to time to help them improve what they're doing, they're not going to be able to carry the job out properly. Somebody's going to fuss. Boy, I wish somebody around here would teach Donna how to make coffee. Fortunately, she knows how to do that, but I'm going to tell you something. If somebody makes a bad pot one day, you may not say anything about it, but Fred will. So what you want is you want people that learn properly how to do a job. It helps not only to learn how to do the job, but it also helps to learn why these good works are important. How they contribute to the work of the ministry. How they contribute to the effectiveness of the ministry. How they contribute to the benefit of the saints. How they please the Lord. Because the more a person understands about his work, and the more a person understands how her work is connected to what everybody else does, the more desirous he or she is going to be to accomplish it, and the better he or she can accomplish it. It's huge to know how to do that. They have to be learned. And so if they have to be learned, what you'll notice is many times you come and you've got this zeal. God's just stirring your heart. I've got to do something for Christ. And you come in and say, I'm ready to do this. Well, you may not be ready, but you might be ready to learn. And you might be ready to prepare. There's no doubt in my mind that in our church we have young men and young women who are going to be used by God in very special ways. And some in full-time capacities, pastors' wives, missionaries' wives, missionaries on the field, pastors. I believe that. I really do. Take great care with the souls of the men and women who are here. And you know what we do? Because of that, we're very aware that we want to teach you everything we possibly can. Don't know how long you're going to be with us. When the Nutters started coming here and we talked and we went out to supper and talked a little bit about their journey to Texas and why they're here and what they're doing and the provisions of the Lord and all those other kind of things. I said, you know, I don't know how long you're going to be here. One more summer like this and you may decide that snow wasn't so bad after all. People in Texas talk like this and they don't talk like we do up in Michigan. We have a guy in our neighborhood from Michigan. We were talking to him. We were walking the dog the other night and I said, you know, there's a vast difference. You almost need an interpreter for some of these words. But nevertheless, you're here for a period of time. It's our responsibility to do whatever we are supposed to do by the Spirit of God to give you whatever you're supposed to have. So whatever the Lord may lead you to do, stay here and grow within the ministry, move on to the next place in your journey, whatever it is, you get everything you're supposed to have here so you're prepared for what God wants you to do in the next thing. We've had people that have come here and they're so well trained they could teach us. And we've told them, just sit a while. Just sit a while. Get to know us. Get to learn how this ministry functions. Make sure you like it here. Make sure you know exactly where God wants you to be. And in the process, learning things. And then right in there. So when you find yourself with a great deal of zeal and you're like, I'm ready to go be whatever. And somebody says, hold on, Charlie. Slow down. You need to clean some toilets first. There's a reason for that. You need to learn faithfulness. You need to learn You need to learn responsibility. You need to learn accountability. You need to learn how to take orders and do whatever it may be, and be grateful for that opportunity. Those are important things to learn. Good works must be learned. God didn't just give you this talent out of the sky and suddenly, "Hoo-hoo, I'm the preacher." Not without years of preparation. Notice also in the passage, good works are necessary. Good works must be learned. But notice this also, good works must be maintained. Good works must be maintained. Let ours also learn to maintain good works. You know, you don't give a job to somebody to do and then expect them to slack off over time or to quit before they're finished unless that's your teenage son in your own house. you might say, well, that's kind of what I expected, you know. This old hot summer, I didn't expect that he'd mow the lawn every Thursday or every Friday or whenever you give it to him. And I'm just kidding about that. Honestly, you do expect him to do it that way. You want him to learn. I've seen so many times people, it's somebody else's responsibility to take care of something. They accept the responsibility and they don't show. Brother Castellaw calls from time to time. We get to talk and things going on in Germany. They're dealing with a building. He was so excited when they were given that building. They were going to do that remodeling project and they were going to go in there and double the size of the church. And he was just thanking God every day. Boy, he wasn't in that construction process very long. And he was writing me going, man, why did God give us this building? Now, he didn't say that out loud. He's still very thankful, but he's worn out. He's got to carry on all the responsibilities of being on the mission field, all the responsibilities of pastoring and training and all that, and deal with the building too. But you know what his greatest frustration was? Has been. Somebody says, hey, preacher, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that one. And then they don't take care of it. That'll wear you out. That'll wear you out. And you know the thing is, you're not getting paid for anything you do around here. It's all volunteer. And so you think, well, since it's volunteer and I'm not getting paid for it, I don't have to put forth the same effort that I would if I was under the observational eye of my boss where I'm making my money. And so, you know, so what if I don't prepare the Sunday school lesson for this Sunday? No big deal. I can just read it real quick the morning on the way to church. I'll let my husband drive or I'll let my wife drive and I'll look over something real quick and I'll give that to the kids and we'll just play some games and let it slide. That's not maintaining good works. Listen, when God puts you into something and there's a good work that's necessary, the care with which you approach that job is the same care with which you approach anything you do in life. The raising of your children, the job that you do when you're making money, whatever it may be. It takes the utmost care on the part of those that are doing that work. You say, well, it's just a volunteer job. And a lot of people see it that way, and I understand that, and I appreciate it when people do those things, but I'm going to tell you something. You got to remember who you're volunteering to. You're doing that for the Lord. Now let me see, what did He give you? Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, a good wife, a home, a good job, a good husband, peace of mind, comfort, grace, filling of the Spirit of God, liberty. And what is that you're saying about how much He has to compensate you for what you do? I think we're deeply indebted, don't you? I think if we do what we do, the very best that we can do it for the rest of our lives, we're still going to be in the red. He's way ahead of us, isn't He? We have to maintain what we do in good working order and improve it if possible. A lot of times when you are given a responsibility in a church, it's not so you can get by with as little as possible or just do it the way it's always been done before. If you have a better way and God's given you that better way, improve it if possible. Great care should be taken that the job you do is done to the very best of your ability and to the complete satisfaction of the Lord. Do your best. Good works must be maintained. According to this verse, the Bible says, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. May I tell you something? When the necessary works of the ministry are learned and maintained, then the good works will be profitable. You're in Titus chapter 3, verse 4, and you see there that they be not unfruitful, but look at verse 8. So you see a confirming witness here. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that they affirm, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and what? Profitable unto all men. When works are necessary, when necessary works are learned and maintained, the good works will be profitable. No matter how menial the task may seem to you. You say, what is it profitable for? It's profitable for the work of the ministry. Have you ever considered that when a soul gets saved in a service in this church, everybody that is involved in a good work has a part in the salvation of that soul? The folks that clean, the nursery workers who are keeping infants that would otherwise be going crazy. I mean, you see what happens when the door opens, right? When the gate is open. Ah! No. That would be going on right during the middle of a service. The people who prayed, the people who prepared to preach, the people who invited, the people who sang during the congregational hymn. I don't know if you realize how much the Bible tells you. Your congregational singing affects the souls of people that come here hurting. It's unbelievable how that ministers. It starts the whole work of the ministry. The guy running the sound system, I've preached in churches before, and this thing is going, you know, it's going like this. Well, I'm telling you, and I tell you, you don't need but one or two of those things right in the middle of the invitation, and poof. You put it all together. Every single person involved in somehow in the work of the ministry has a hand in the salvation of the soul in cooperating with the work of the Spirit of God. That's very profitable. I believe that with all of my heart. You say, oh, well, you're the one that was preaching, and I'm the one that invited them. Yeah, but how about those 100 people that were praying? And those that sang with all their heart, and those that played, and those that greeted in the foyer, just so that person would know that he or she was welcome. You see, it's all part of it. That's why he said it has to be maintained for necessary uses. How about this? People trained and put into the ministry. In other words, while you're here and you're doing what you do, you were the Sunday school teacher, somebody taught Jake. Somebody taught Philip. Somebody taught Ricky. Paige, well, you can't teach her, but and don't think for a minute that that didn't have a very significant and serious influence in the life of that child growing into teen years and on into the 20s to be used by God. Do you understand that? It didn't all happen in a day. It happened over a long process and period of time. People trained and put into the ministry. How about missionaries sent out? And there are more yet to go. You can keep thinking of all the spiritual highlights in the ministry of a church and realize everybody that was involved in that was used by the Holy Spirit as a part of it. But you know what? It's not only profitable for the work of the ministry here, it's profitable to you personally at the judgment seat of Christ. You may think that you're doing what you do as a volunteer without compensation, but Jesus Christ doesn't think that. When He's satisfied with the work you do and He knows that you're doing that for Him, He's up there keeping a record of that whole thing. And when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, every dish you washed in that kitchen when we had missions conferences, evangelistic things, and you were the one in the kitchen, every dish you washed, every spoonful that you served by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for the benefit of that soul, so there would be an environment here of cooperation whereby the Spirit of God could work, that souls might be saved, missionaries were in comforted. Let me tell you something. Jesus is up there and he's got a record of the whole thing. He said, you serve that, you wash that dish with a better attitude than that preacher preached that sermon today. I'm going to give you a little more credit for it than I give him. I'm telling you, it's profitable. It is fruitful. If it's a good work into which the Lord placed you, and you do that with all your heart as unto the Lord, you'll see it on the other side. And you'll look back on that and you'll be ashamed and say, you know what, I wasn't a volunteer without compensation. Look at this. I'm being overpaid and I get to keep this for eternity. What a fabulous thing. I love the work of the ministry at any level. It makes no difference to me. To know that God had prepared a place for me to do something for Him, wherever that place might be, for His satisfaction, whether anybody else in the world even knows or cares, I'm delighted to have something to do for my Savior. He did an awful lot for me. So Titus, when Paul writes to Titus and he wraps this letter up, he said, let ours also learn. So if you still got some learning to do, learn well. To maintain, if you've got a good work, do it with the best of your ability. Good works. Because what you do is necessary. And know this. It will be fruitful. And you'll be glad you did what God told you to do. I remember when I went off to Bible college, we always used to have the same introductory thing every late August, September, whenever it was, Labor Day, I guess. I always say, you know, if you're a C-minus student, and you come in here and you do C-plus work, and the other guy's an A student and he does A-minus work, I just want you to know at the judgment seat of Christ, that C-plus student's going to come out better than that A-minus. Because the C-plus student did better than he could do. The A-minus student on paper did better, but he did less than he was able to do. And God takes note of those things. I'm thankful to every soul in this church, for God's sake, not for my sake, for God's sake, that you do what you do so well. I didn't say this to scold you in any way. This message here, I believe, was an encouragement to let you know it may not seem like much to you, but it's a big deal to me. And if it's a big deal to me, you can just imagine it is a huge deal to Jesus Christ. And I'm very thankful for every person in this church that has learned to do what you do well, and then on top of that, done it and maintained it impeccably. I praise the Lord for you. Now, I've not singled out any person here, and I'm not going to, but in my heart, I am very, very thankful for my secretary. I've said I'm not singling about anybody out here. Because she's really our secretary. She serves you all well. I don't know when Secretary's Day is, but just chalk it up to that day, okay? Let's pray. Father, we're sure thankful today that you have the opportunity to be here. See what you have for us. I'm asking you, please, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless these words in our lives and encourage us by these, Father. We want you to be pleased, and we want the work to be fruitful for Jesus' sake. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.